This is CliffCentral.com. Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Turn up the volume, that helps, huh? Good morning, folks. Welcome to Auto Central, brought to you by Auto Trader, the trusted motoring marketplace. We're back, it's 2019, and it feels like I'm ready for a holiday already. How are you guys feeling? I've got Martin and Lawrence in the studio this morning. How are you doing, guys?
How's it, Ty?
Yeah, I feel exactly the same.
Do you really? Yeah, it kind of feels like I just kind of feel like 2019 rolled in, you know, as part of 2018. It doesn't feel like anything's changed, really.
No, not at all.
Nope.
Barring a swim in the sea, and that's about it.
You got a swim in the sea?
I did get a swim in the sea.
I painted my lounge.
Inside?
Yes.
Not the furniture, eh? Just the walls. Is that what you did?
Yeah, cleaned house. Okay.
Did you not go away at all?
No.
Okay. Mark, did you go away?
Nope.
No.
A couple of day trips here and there, but nothing else.
So, same old, same old.
You know, if I wanted to sit in a traffic jam made up of Toyota Fortuners, I might as well just stay in Pretoria.
Well, that's true. I mean, geez, like the traffic on the roads over December was pretty hectic. It really, really was. The roads were busy. I love Joburg in December because it's
empty.
It's empty.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to spend your life sitting in the car like we do Monday to Friday now that everyone's back and, you know, back to the grindstone. Cool. And anything exciting in 2019? We were just chatting now. You off to India to go and
test drive? Yeah, I'm off to India on the 31st to go drive a new Mahindra SUV.
Oh, fantastic. Mm. Is that a completely new vehicle that's been launched?
Completely new vehicle. And I think it might actually turn out to be a hit in South Africa.
Oh, really?
But we'll see when it lands here halfway through the year.
Okay, nice.
Goes up against the Suzuki Vitara, so it's in the small, the compact SUV class. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a big seller in South Africa. And looking at the guideline prices they've given me,
it's going to be good.
Probably going to be a good one.
Fantastic. And anything else? I mean, what from a car launch perspective, is there anything that's going to really rock us in 2019, whether it happens now or the back end of the year?
It's still a bit too early to tell.
Okay.
But there is definitely going to be a lot happening this year.
I suppose a lot of guys keep their cards close to their chest. They don't let
it
go early.
There's a new 3 Series coming as well, BMW 3 Series.
Yeah. Made in South Africa.
Okay.
No. Sorry, yeah, they cancelled.
They've moved over to Extremos.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. But that one's going to arrive this year as well.
All right.
New Supra launched last week.
Mm-hmm.
We're still waiting to hear what's going to happen here in South Africa.
All right, well, let's kick off with some of our top stories making the news over the last couple of weeks. And I suppose it's not a nice way to start the show, but something that we really have to look at, and that's obviously, you know, the SA festive season kind of, you know, road death tolls, the crisis that we have, and it is a crisis. Mm-hmm. So this and other shocking South Africa's festive season road death toll increased by 5.6% versus the same period last year to 1,612 fatalities. This and other shocking statistics were announced during the preliminary festive season road safety report delivered on last week Wednesday by the Transport Minister, Dr. Bladen Zamande. So the report covers the period from the 1st of December till the 9th of Jan, and lo and behold, KwaZulu-Natal winning the race show with recorded the most fatalities with 328, followed by the Eastern Cape with 238, Gauteng with 219, Limpopo 178, and Mpumalanga 162, then the Western Cape, Northwest, and then the Northern Cape. Only two provinces saw a decrease in the number of road deaths, with Gauteng figures down by a commendable 19% and the Northwest by 2%, all the other provinces up. So I think hats off to, you know, I mean, 19% is fantastic, but it's ridiculous the amount of people.
Still too many. Yeah.
It's just become the norm. It's like, okay, cool, it's December, you're going to die if you drive on the road. Like, the chances of you dying on the road are a lot higher, and it's getting worse, and it shouldn't be. It should be getting better.
Well, they're still tackling the problem in all the wrong ways.
Yep.
One of my day trips was out to Mpumalanga, out to Dullstroom side to go off-roading with a Jimny, but we'll talk about that bit later.
Yeah.
But looking at the absolute stupidity of so many of our fellow road users, I'm almost inclined to say I can understand why so many people die on the roads.
Absolutely.
Because people do the dumbest shit you can imagine.
I know. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I had two incidences, one this weekend and one this morning coming to the office. So yesterday, single lane, at an intersection, yellow lines on the right-hand side, and, you know, four guys in a mm-hmm. I don't know what it was. It was like a Toyota Taz, or it was a really, really small car, overtook three cars over the yellow lines, over solid white lines, through an intersection, just driving like absolute Muppets,
and
you know, on a Sunday morning.
And you'd never see visible policing to take care of those guys.
It is very unfortunate. It's the mentality of the South African populace.
Well, you know, so that was the one. And then, you know, this morning coming down Republic Road where you hit William Nicol. Also, the robot had just turned green for us to turn right, and lo and behold, high ace, straight through an intersection, red robot with about 8 or 9 passages. And it absolutely makes my blood boil, because it's not the fact that I could have just let it go, and we've spoken about this before, like, oh, just let it go, it doesn't. But you know what, somebody's got to tell that oak that he's an absolute prick.
And the thing is, there have been many companies that have tried. Just in December, VW and DriveDrive, they had this whole...
Yeah, well, don't get that's the next story. So you're letting the cat out the bag. So no, we're going to get onto it. I mean, we can.
What upsets me completely is I love the fact that VW did that.
Me too.
I love the DriveDrive thing. It's very similar to that thing they did a couple of years ago with Vagvio Papa, the prison inmates.
The prison one. Yeah, that was
brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
It's brilliant.
So let's just put...
What upset me... Yep. Was the fact that people climbed onto social media and started berating.
I'm going to pause you for 2 minutes because I just want to give some context to the listeners out there. So a well-known TV presenter, Nomuzi Mabena, better known as Muzile, shocked South Africans last week by faking an accident. So long story short, it later emerged that the footage of her promoting her label while driving in what appeared to be a live selfie feed interrupted by an accident where viewers... next saw shattered glass was actually a hoax created by part of the hashtag Drive Dry campaign sponsored by Volkswagen. So basically what's happened, Joe, these guys have sat and gone, how are we going to shock, how are we going to get people to look at this campaign, how are we going to get people to get involved and to actually start taking, you know, drink driving, being on your phone while you're driving seriously. And VW have backed this campaign where, yes, they faked someone's death, which, you know, kind of, it leaves a bit of a sour taste in my mouth, because, you know, if there were people who liked this woman and all of a sudden they think she's dead and it was love, I can understand them being frustrated. But if you have a look at what's actually happened, and to your point, more people commented about, oh, I can't believe VW have done this, blah, blah, blah. Out of the 300,000 odd people that saw the campaign, only 4 people commented on the fact that there was actually alcohol involved while she was driving. So they faked this whole thing. And it's just kind of like, oh, because she's and I'm not blaming her, this was obviously all staged, but if you see anybody, you know, driving, and you do see it, what happened to citizen's arrest? Are you allowed to stop somebody else and say, hang on a sec, but you're driving a car, you probably get shot. But, yeah, so let's just talk about that. So you were just saying that it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. It annoys me that people got upset that they got shocked. Because unfortunately, that's the only thing that works anymore, is to shock people.
Yeah.
Because they've gotten so used to, oh, well, I'm just going to have a few drinks and then I'm going to drive home.
And, you know, being on the
phone.
You
don't think.
No, you don't think.
And you need to be shocked into the reality that people do this all the time. And you're going to be all shocked and upset and everything, blah, 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 because a celebrity, you know, took part in this. But when it's one of your family members or your brother or your mother or your sister, then it's a different story.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I've watched so many of my friends get killed.
Yeah.
I've had friends killed in motorcycle accidents. I've had friends killed in car accidents. Yeah. All because they thought they were invincible.
Mm.
And they're not.
No, they're not. No one is. And this is the thing. You know, you do. You put yourself at risk, and you put everybody else at risk as well.
Now, I'm sorry, but look, most modern cars have got at least a bare minimum a Bluetooth hands-free system.
Sure.
You do not have an excuse to drive with a cell phone stuck to the side of your head.
No, 9 times out of 10, most phones come with headphones anyway. So if you don't have the Bluetooth, plug the bloody headphones
almost
in.
All new cars that are available now, and even some of the older ones, they've got Apple CarPlay and Android Auto.
Or at least Bluetooth connection.
You do not need to be holding your cell phone. You can operate what's on your phone through the infotainment system with the buttons on the steering wheel.
Or rather, not operate anything at all.
Thank you.
If you want to take a call.
Concentrate on driving.
Yes. If you want to take a call
rather
through your Bluetooth.
Yeah.
But why read messages and all sorts of other things while you're driving?
Well, I think this is the thing. You know, we've become accustomed to this kind of instant gratification and instant replies. If you just think of it, you get a WhatsApp, and I think the brain is, we've trained ourselves as human beings to, oh my God, I have to reply immediately. You know, this person's going to see that I've read the message. Actually, the two blue ticks are there. Now, all of a sudden, I need a reply.
There was a guy who did a talk show.
Yes.
And he was talking about what cell phones do to the human brain. And it's the serotonin and dopamine hit you get when you get a message or an email. It's like drugs. It really is. It's very, very interesting.
Funny thing is, I don't know why. I don't suffer from that.
No, so I don't suffer from that either, but I think it's a generation thing as well. So, you know, we weren't, I mean, you know, I spent the weekend with my family. My sister's got a 2-year-old nephew. You must see this guy operate a phone. At 2 years old, this is what he's doing, you know.
Screen dependency.
It's screen dependency. And I think, you know, guys that are coming through the ranks now, they have grown up with these digital screens in their hands. So yeah, I mean, we are just a little bit over the hill.
Speak for yourself.
I don't suffer from that, you know, how many likes has my post got? Or
No.
You know, when am I getting the next message? And like, it actually annoys me when people send like one message after the other. Just do it in one paragraph, please.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just one paragraph. Not like hello, dot, and then sentence, and then carry on. I agree.
And then my watch keeps pinging, ping. Shut up!
Yeah. Well, my phone was actually stolen on holiday, and I must say I thoroughly enjoyed the fact that I was completely off the grid. No one can get hold of me.
It's refreshing.
It was refreshing, and I came out of the shops one afternoon.
Why do you think people are camping so much?
Exactly. After coming back from the holiday, walking out of the shops going, I wonder what the time is. I don't know when last I asked myself that question, because normally you just, you know, you either look at your phone or you look at your wrist.
Yeah.
I had no idea, and it was
look up at the sun.
Exactly, like that's about quarter past two. Yeah, exactly. it's crazy.
I like the fact that VW did that whole campaign. And I really wish that more companies would get involved.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion is, I like the idea.
Yeah. It's a little
but
bit distasteful.
Totally, no, totally, totally executed in the wrong way, in my opinion. It should not have been a reality fake. Because when the reality does strike and something does happen to somebody where all this fake stuff is floating around, and you don't know what to believe.
So it's almost like that's the story of Crying Wolf, isn't it? Yeah. Like, okay, so now that you know, the next celebrity that actually does die in a car accident, you think, okay, cool.
And that's why that one with the prison inmates worked so well.
Yeah.
And it's still that, I remember it that much because people watch that and they sit there and go,
no.
So it was, Papa Wachfe, yeah. So they had a whole bunch of guys to Palsmore Prison, and this Drive Alive guys filmed these prisoners saying, like, and the, you know, the baddest oaks tattooed to the max, going, we can't wait for you to join us in here. You'll see what's going to happen to you. And it was raw, but it was real. And there was no faking anything. I still remember they rolled it out. They had them on the back of toilet doors in the bathrooms and everything. It was a flipping brilliant campaign.
Yeah, but it was real.
It was real. 100%. It wasn't
faked. And I think we need more of that kind of shock.
Like, be creative, and you can suck someone into a story, even if it's a story.
Yeah,
you can suck someone into those emotions and feelings and whatever.
You see,
but it doesn't
people
have to
are
be
saying
faked.
That they faked this woman's death. No one said she died in the accident. She just had a car accident. So,
because she was using her phone.
Because she was using her phone. So whether she bumped her head or, you know, had a couple of, you know, bruises and stuff. I think obviously the sensationalism around it has made it a little bit more than what it actually was. But VW also urged those that are angered by the campaign to rather direct their rage at those reckless and intoxicated drivers that continue to put all of our lives at risk.
No,
and I
absolutely
agree with it 100%.
You know, the
well.
Sentiment and the reasons that this campaign was done, and, you know, good on VW. They,
absolutely.
You know, did a really
I think it's a ballsy campaign. It is a ballsy campaign.
You know, it should have just been kind of known that it was an ad. And not
so the
not
question
reality.
I asked there though, George, is like, how many people are going to take it seriously then? If you know it's not legit or real.
Yeah, maybe this time you'll take it seriously, but next time you'll think it's a joke.
Yeah.
You know, because then what, you know, with fake, it's effectively fake.
Fake, yeah.
You know, and then what do you start to believe? What don't you believe? Mm. What do you believe that you see on YouTube? What don't you believe that you read?
Mm.
You know, so we don't want to get into a world like that.
I take everything with a pinch of salt. Then there's something else that I want to mention as well. It's something that came up on my Facebook feed during the holidays. So a lot of people posting where the cops are going to have roadblocks at night.
Ah.
And I think it's also a little bit wrong, because imagine you posted that on your Facebook, you retweeted it or whatever, and somebody read that and went, oh, there's going to be a roadblock there. They avoided it, and they were drinking.
But isn't that defeating the ends of justice? I know in the old days, like,
they tried to hit Pickspotter with that as well, and, you know, it's a bit of a different thing.
Yeah.
The cops are doing that during the festive season to try and mitigate road deaths.
Correct.
Now, what you're doing is you are telling people who are going to break the law by drinking and driving where the roadblock's going to be. So they then take another road, avoid the roadblock, and wipe out one of your family members.
Yeah.
Because they were drinking. Yes. How does that make you feel?
Mm.
Just don't do it. Don't retweet where the roadblocks are going to be. You know where they are. You don't have to go that way. You don't need to tell everybody else.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you do want to warn somebody because you know they've had a pot or two, rather just phone them and let them know. Don't make it general knowledge.
I just think it's, you know, you're aiding and abetting.
Yeah, you are aiding and abetting. Anyway, but listen, just quick talking about that. So we had, apparently there were 775 roadblocks were conducted across the country versus 414 from the previous year, which is, you know, an additional, 350-odd. And 1.3 million vehicles were stopped and checked versus 1.2 million last year. 416 vehicles were taken off the road versus 3,800 the previous year. And 765,009 fines were issued. And that's up 290,000. And 8,057 arrests were made. So listen, the cops, you know, they're trying. I think they fight an uphill battle every single year as well. It's got to be hard, guys. I think the police force are completely under-resourced. And, you know.
Look, yes and no. On that trip to Dalstroom, I encountered 6 speed traps on the N4, but not a single police car actually driving with the other cars.
Oh, really?
So there's no visible policing as far as rolling infringements go. Mm-hmm. But they clamp down on anyone who goes 5 km an hour over the speed limit. And that is not how you're going to improve the safety.
True.
No, but it is how you're going to make money.
Exactly. That's the easy way to make money.
The Christmas fund.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, let's move on here. Guys, I see this is crazy. I saw this kind of took me by surprise because it looks like the Germans and the Americans are making friends. So Bucky Partnership Electric Cars. Here's why Ford and VW became besties. In the world of automotive collaborations, you'd never hazard a guess that Ford and VW would agree to share strategy and resources. This is the truth that was announced in Detroit last week, with the American and German auto giants agreeing to a close working relationship regarding product delivery by as soon as 2022. I don't know if you guys have heard or seen much about this or know anything about it. Maybe you can shed some light on the subject.
Detroit, North American Auto Show in Detroit.
Yeah.
VW and Ford were supposed to have a meeting with like a press conference, which they cancelled at the last minute.
Okay.
Because they still hadn't ironed out
all the nuts and bolts.
All the nuts and bolts. And I still haven't seen an actual proper announcement as to what this is going to entail and who's going to get what out of the deal. But, it's all hand in hand with what's happening in North America with many of the auto manufacturers ceasing production on passenger vehicles. They're all moving towards SUVs and Buckies.
Yeah.
That's so the one part. The other thing is Ford builds a very good Bucky.
Yes.
And Volkswagen has invested heavily in electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So Ford wants access to Volkswagen electric technology, and Volkswagen wants access to Ford's commercial vehicles side. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that's something that's going to work? I mean, are we going to see the Amarok,
in the past,
you know, badge F-150?
It's a BMW underneath the new Super Skin.
Yeah.
You had the Subaru BRZ and Toyota 86. It's where things are going. The auto manufacturers will eventually have to start working together if they want to advance the technology.
I mean, you've spoken at length about this, like Tesla, you know, letting, you know, they're giving their information, you know, away and sharing this kind of stuff for the betterment of everybody.
No, I mean, I think electric technology isn't as complicated as combustion engine technology.
Sure.
Because of the moving parts and the efficiencies and inefficiencies and making it better and faster and stronger. And, you know, electric cars, it's not that complicated. There's not that many moving parts.
Yeah.
And an electric motor isn't rocket science. I think where they'll compete is not in the actual manufacture of the form or the form factor of the car. It's in the software and what the car can actually make those electric motors and what the car can do itself.
Yeah.
So it's not a surprise that they're going to try and bring down costs, because that's what this partnership's about, is to bring down the underlying cost of manufacturing cars. Yeah. Why have two manufacturers manufacture the same thing that effectively the consumer can't see? Because at the end of the day, we only care about what we can see. Yes. We don't care about, what's inside the prop shaft.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how many people have actually seen the full chassis of their own vehicle?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So what's the point of... What's the point of trying to compete at a level that effectively you can't get much better at? A chassis is a chassis is a chassis. The stuff we've learned is probably at the pinnacle of for everybody is the same. So why not share that amongst all the manufacturers? Get the costs down and compete in another area.
Do you think they're going to pass those cost savings onto the consumer at the end of the day?
They have to. It's impossible, because another two manufacturers are going to get together and then bring the costs down and then compete on the basis of price. So no, the economics will make it.
It looks like we're moving into a universe where these guys are all just going to join forces, and eventually we're going to have three major car companies producing, I don't know how many, 50, 60, 70 odd brands.
No, I mean, so think about it this way. The inside of your phone.
Yeah.
A lot of Apple's parts come from Samsung.
Sure.
The chips traditionally inside the Apple Mac, not so much the phone, but the chips traditionally inside the Apple Mac were Intel chips. So it's the same sort of thinking, is the form factor and the way in which the actual thing is produced is not the competitive advantage. The competitive advantage is what happens on top of that.
Okay.
The layer on top of that being the styling inside the car, the features inside the car, the software, all that will become the competitive advantage rather than the drivetrain and the chassis.
Yeah,
which is
makes sense. It says the first joint venture products for this Ford VW collaboration are expected in 2022, and they should be specific interest to the South African market, as we are one of the bucky geographies where both the Amarok and the Ranger are marketed. It says Ford is helping VW to build a better next generation Amarok. What are the Americans getting from their German partners? Simple access to one of the most over-engineered automotive platforms ever designed.
So, exactly. Yeah. And what do I give for that? Electric vehicles.
100%. So we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see what happens there. Gentlemen, the next topic is the petrol price. It's kind of, we're sitting on a knife edge here, because we don't know if it's going to go up or down.
We'll find out next week Tuesday.
We're going to find. Is that when they say it? Next week Tuesday?
It's the first Tuesday of the month.
Okay. All right. So that's data from the Central Energy Fund shows that although the January average as far at mid-month is pointing to price reductions of around 12 cents a litre for petrol and 35 cents for diesel, studying the daily reports from the last 2 weeks shows that this average is heading in the wrong direction at present. So yeah,
Donald just needs to keep his mouth shut.
Like that's going to happen.
Yeah, that is not going to happen. So we'll wait and see if it goes up or if it goes down. But
Donald only cares about the United States, so Donald won't keep his mouth shut.
Donald cares about himself.
I don't know if you saw the other day about, what was he saying? He was giving a speech at a university about if there's a wall in front of you, you've got to bash it down, you've got to get over it, you've got to get around it, you've got to do what you can. It was the irony in the message. I mean, it's a chopper. I mean, I don't follow him too much or read too much about it, but
well, the American economy is doing better than it's ever done.
Well, it is, because I think he's very, very pro-America, and exactly. I think that's kind of I do think that's good, but I think
somebody had to chuck this wrench into the bicycle wheel.
Yeah,
somebody had to do it. Yeah. We couldn't carry on in the world just the status quo existing. So yes, he's a chop, and yes, he says stupid.
But he's
things.
Done some good things.
But you know what? He executes.
Yeah,
and that is 90% of the job done.
Yes, he's funny. Yeah, he's because he's in his own universe. He's an expert at everything. I don't know. This exactly. Video that went. Yeah.
That's why him and
when
Kim
it comes
Jong
to building walls. That's why I'm an expert.
That's why him and Kim Jong get along so well.
Exactly.
That's crazy. So,
he's a chop. But you know what? At least he's making change.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's the big thing.
So Nissan's ex-chairman Carlos The Tokyo District Court turned down a request by Nissan's former chairman Carlos Ghosn to release on bail on Tuesday, prolonging his detention by weeks and possibly months. The 64-year-old was arrested on the 19th of November and has obviously been charged with falsifying financial reports and in under-reporting his compensation. And this is obviously, you know, breach of trust. His lawyers, who requested his release last week, appealed the rejection on Tuesday. And what they're saying here is the Japanese judicial system, it's kind of, you know, you're not innocent until you're proven guilty. It's like if you've been held, you are, it's almost like you're guilty until you've been proven innocent.
My question is, okay, yeah. So they let him out.
No, they he's still,
okay.
Hypothetically
speaking, yes. They let him out. Where does he go?
I don't know. He probably owns an island somewhere. He probably knows enough people in the wrong places to get onto a plane and ship himself somewhere, wherever he wants to go.
It's not, money's not possible for him to disappear.
I don't think money's an issue in this.
Would they not have frozen all his bank accounts? And
yeah, but I don't know. I think these guys, when you're playing at this level, there's
in that case, let him grow some cobwebs.
Obviously, there are some conspiracy theories going around as well.
Yeah.
He was apparently on the verge of forcing a full merger between Nissan and Renault, which would have made the Minion, to wit Renault, control the big one, to
sure.
wit Nissan. And the Nissan executive board was not keen on this at all. It's just the timing. Just seems a bit suspicious.
Seeing triangles and everything.
Yeah. Almost. Let me get my phone for that quick, man.
I don't know. It's crazy. The world's messed up at the moment. It really, really is.
It's going to be interesting to watch this whole thing unfold.
Yeah. I mean, do you think he's going to be put behind bars? Do you think they're going to charge him, or do you think he'll get off?
62?
What?
He's 62.
64.
64?
Yeah.
Highly likely. Highly unlikely.
That he'll get off, or that he'll be charged.
I think he'll get away with it. He's not going to see the inside of a prison cell for very long. He'll either die in jail.
His wife's even appealed for her husband's release in a letter to the group Human Rights Watch, saying his detention was cruel and inhumane.
Oh, they put him in jail.
Yeah, well,
it's cruel, sorry. And inhumane.
Driver's license. I know you went in and applied. I know you walked in too.
I walked in, got turned around, said go book online. So I went to book online.
Yeah.
And it was a seamless process. I mean, it was easy.
Sure.
And then I proceeded to go to the license department on the day and the time that I had. This was in our early December.
Yep.
Date and time that I had been allocated, only to still wait about 2 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the online application, or should I say booking, scheduling system doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I sat in the queue, long queue down the passage, still didn't work. And when I said to one of the officials, like, what's happening here? Oh no, we're a little bit short staffed because everyone's on lunch.
I know.
My business doesn't, people don't take lunch if there's stuff to do.
No, exactly.
Take the time off when we can.
Yeah.
That's the way of the world, lately.
And exactly.
Why can't you get other staff in? Oh, no, we don't have any.
But I think this is how, some people run their operations, and a majority, I think, are governmental departments, but also retailers. So to your point, exactly the same thing. It was the last weekend before Christmas, and we were doing Christmas shop, and it was about 12 o'clock. There's 25 teller bays or a cashier, checkout points, and there were only five, ladies behind the counters, and you can't point fingers at them.
No, you can't, and because it's the management.
Yeah,
that's the problem, because and they don't, they need to provide more stuff.
This is the thing. When I left and I saw the assistant store manager coming into the shop, and I said to him, "What's going on here?" I said, "Look at that queue." It was like snaking back on itself like three or four times. And he's like, "Yeah, no, but it's tea." I'm like, "Dude, it's not my issue. Get your tools going. Get the people through the tools, because you'll actually make more money. You've just lost the sale because I'm not prepared to stand in that nonsense."
You know who gets this right? Two companies, Woolworths and Dis-Chem.
Yes.
They get it right.
Yeah.
Don't know why the rest
20 tall points, and they're all staffed.
Yeah.
All the time.
No, it's ridiculous. So anyway, Minister of Transport Bladen Zamani is currently monitoring a contingency plan to recover production time lost during a labor dispute with employees who were contracted to the driving license card account. According to Blade, the dispute occurred during the annual production maintenance period. So pretty much since July 2018 to December, they've received over 1 million card orders and have only printed about 700,000 cards. There's about 324,000 cards that are still outstanding, one being yours and one being mine as well. But what they're saying is that obviously, so what happens
get
now, right?
A temporary.
I've got a temporary. Okay,
you have to pay for that.
Which I did pay for that because I was at fault. I didn't renew my license when I should have.
Shame on you.
Yeah, okay. So I paid the penalty and that's fine. I went to and I spent my 3 hours in the queue as you did. So we probably spent a very, very similar amount of time.
Yeah. What my point is that online system doesn't reduce the queue time.
No, it doesn't reduce the queue time. Yeah. And I can honestly say that every individual that I dealt with when it, barring sitting in the queue, was professional and friendly and they were fine. But it's obviously the process getting through the number of people. But if you are pulled over, what do you do? So now I've got a temporary license, which is probably going to expire in the next month or so.
No, I looked at it. Ready. There's no expiry date on it.
On a temporary.
My temporary.
I don't know by default whether it does.
Yeah.
But there is no date on it.
I think it's a 6 month from date of issue, if I'm not mistaken.
Where does it say it on that thing?
I don't know. That's just
it
what
it doesn't.
Well, 2011, months. I was mugged. They got my wallet. I had to go and get a new driver's license, and in that time period, I had to get a temporary. That temporary is still in my desk drawer, and I think it's still valid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm. Martin shaking his head.
I think in the fine print, it'll be 6 months or 3 months or whatever, but
it doesn't state it on the license itself.
I read that entire license back, both sides.
Yeah.
That fine print.
There's nothing.
Let's see what Google says.
There's nothing.
Just have a squiz there, Mart, if you can. But Google. It says, if according to the department, the first, so basically, if you
Google's going to tell you don't have a license.
If you've got a, if you're waiting for your license, so you've applied, the first category of drivers exempt from fines are those who renewed their driver's licenses before the 3 months of, before their license expired. The drivers in this category are those, because so they obviously applied within time, and they count kind of off the hook as long as, but you've still got to have a temporary license. So basically, if you don't have your card, get yourself a temporary license, and that's kind of your get out of jail 6 months.
6 months.
So,
yeah, no, I thought it was 6 months, but it doesn't say that.
No.
Doesn't say that.
No. You have to know the rules.
It's in the fine print on their website.
On their website.
Yeah. So you've got 6 months. But I mean, even if that expires and you haven't received your new card,
As long as you've got it, they will then know because of this nonsense that you're legit.
So don't.
And if you've got a temporary, just produce it.
Yeah, absolutely.
However, if you applied for a renewal before more than 3 months before your old license expired, the old one's still valid.
The old
one's still valid.
Provided
you can show the receipt.
You can still show it. Okay, that's right. Okay. So don't stress if you haven't got your driver's license card. If you've got the temporary, you should be all right.
Yeah.
You know, nothing
sorted.
A can of Coke won't sort out. Right.
I can't believe you said that.
They're right. Let's happening. So obviously no F1 at the moment. George, is there anything happening? Any, anything that's pre kind of F1 season murmurings? Yeah. What's happening with Mick Schumacher?
Yeah, well, so Michael Schumacher turned 50.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so he turned 50, and the family still don't want to, release any details, which is fair enough. But rumor has it that he's not unconscious.
Okay,
but nobody really knows. That's the first thing, and then they've released the schedule for the season and especially the schedule for the reveal of the new cars. So that's going to be exciting. That starts in February.
And do you think we'll see a lot of adaptations and new technology coming into? I mean, I'm assuming there always is something new to be spoken about.
Well, there's quite a few rule changes this year. So they they'll probably start to reveal what has and hasn't made it into the rules come the beginning of February.
Okay.
But to Lawrence's point, Mick Schumacher's joined the Driver Academy for Ferrari, which is very interesting.
Michael Schumacher's son.
Yes. He's joined the Driver Academy, which
following in daddy's footsteps.
Yep, which is a crap load of pressure. Yep, to
well,
be
we
honest.
Spoke about that, remember, because he's either going to make it and become great, and then and if he doesn't, people are going to say they should never have introduced him too early, blah, blah, blah. So we'll wait and see what happens. But obviously there has been quite a bit of motorsport always this time of the year, and that's the Dakar, which is extremely exciting. For one lucky South African, he even got ploughed by one of the trucks.
What a chop.
Did you see that? No, he was standing on a dune. Well, you explain.
I've been there.
Yes, you have.
And I've been in those dunes.
Yeah.
And I have been 10 meters from one of those trucks when it came thundering through where we were standing.
Okay.
And we were standing where we were supposed to be. Now, that idiot was standing down on the race line where he wasn't supposed to be with a whole bunch of other people. And when the truck came thundering through, it's of course going to take the shortest distance between the two points and drove right over him.
I thought he was dead.
It broke his leg.
Okay.
But, you know,
it could have been far worse.
I have stood next to one of those trucks, and I can tell you that driver cannot see.
No.
Yeah.
Jack.
No.
He can see what's in front of him. Yeah. That is it.
Yeah.
So and you just happen to be behind one of the back wheels.
Yeah, and he obviously can't see pizza. You know, anything right in immediately in front of him. He's probably what looking at 15, and maybe
the thing is, if you watch the video,
you
can actually see the people standing there. He's barreling. You can't stop a truck in
the same. No. Jeez,
some of the people scuttled. They got out of the way, and he did actually try and avoid. But, you know, when you're in a 20-ton truck...
Yeah, you're not stopping for nothing.
Yeah. there were two schools of thought. One school being, what an idiot, he shouldn't have been there. And the other school was, the driver should have stopped. Stop a 20-ton truck in the sand and see what happens.
And it's a race.
Yeah.
So, you know...
Yeah, they went to go visit him in hospital to say sorry, but it's...
Okay. Well, you know, that has got a story to tell for the rest of his life.
Exactly.
The worst part is... To South Africa.
He can, well, now he can at the bar, he can say, you know, it's my last Dakar. You know, I broke my leg at my last Dakar.
What happened? I got hit by a truck. I got hit by
the
truck.
Dakar
was less invincible than I thought.
Yeah. The Dakar is a test of man and machine.
Absolutely,
it is.
Man is still squishy.
Yeah.
If you didn't find out.
And you know, of course, Toyota Gazoo Racing, South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
South African built Hilux won.
Fantastic.
Nasser Al Attiyah.
Yeah.
We were all rooting for Janiel, who finished sixth, I think. He had a bit of an accident midway through the race, hit a rock, broke the engine.
No, he finished 40th.
Who?
Janiel de Villiers.
Okay, well, so he finished quite a ways down the order, but, you know.
Finished ninth.
Oh, final standing. Sorry.
Yeah. I think
he dropped back. He dropped back because he lost more than 4 hours.
Okay, but made it up in the later half of the race. Yeah. But the thing is, as I've spoken to Glenn Hall, who is the team principal of Toyota Gazoo, and he said, you know, the first 5 or 6 days set the tone for the rest of the race.
Okay,
they have a strategy, and they were trying to get Janiel to win the race.
Yeah.
So they had a whole strategy and it was all worked out, but Mother Nature stepped in and said,
sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Rock in the middle of the road. And it took out two of their cars.
Sure.
Ten Brinker.
Yeah. Ten Brinker and they also hit the same rock. So it, good news though, we had a privateer.
Yes. Coming in at number 10.
Jeez, luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also in a Hilux. So Toyota had a really, really good race.
Yeah.
Kenny Gilbert, also a South African bike rider. Did very, very well. Finished pretty high up the rankings as well.
So and I heard on the news as well about a rookie. His first Dakar, only a South African guy, and he came first of all the first-timers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jeez luck.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been Stuart Gregory.
I don't know.
No, Stuart Gregory is also a friend of mine from KZN who privateered the race, and I think he made it about 3/4 of the way through.
That's got to cost a lot of money.
Ooh. It is.
Because you've got to fly, obviously, everything over there.
Well, it's your bike, plus an entire other bike in spares, plus your tools, tires,
mechanics.
You take two mates with you, go and sleep in a tent.
Magic, man.
Well, that's what they do. But still a cracking race. I'm actually waiting to see what's going to happen next year because the year before last, they did it across three countries. It was Peru, Argentina, Bolivia. This year, they did it all completely inside Peru. because the South American countries can't afford to host the race anymore. And the little birdie's been whispering to me and saying that we might just be seeing it a little bit south of the border. They're talking about Namibia.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have to see.
Sure.
It's all still hearsay, but yes. It would be really nice to see a race of that magnitude
coming a little bit lower down. Fantastic. All right, cool. Well, thanks very much for that. Right. Some really nice news, and it's always nice when you go into the new year is you get stats from the previous year. George, and I see that obviously we released some stats a couple of weeks ago with regards to the most searched for vehicles on our site, and I believe there's been some changes. I don't know if you want to take us through that.
Yeah, so the most interesting fact is that BMW has lost its number one position, which, you know, BMW 3 Series. The BMW 3 Series was up there in the number one searched for position for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And it's now, you know, slipped down to about sixth place.
Sure.
Wow.
So that's very interesting. And what's taken its spot is the Mercedes-Benz C-Class.
Sure. Okay.
Mercedes-Benz C-Class traditionally has been, well, in 2017 was the third most searched for vehicle in its class. And now it's on the number one spot. And that could only be perhaps due to the facelift that happened during the course of last year.
Okay.
Because Mercedes-Benz C-Class has really changed that rounded bubble shape that BMW hasn't gotten rid of yet.
Okay.
You know, BMW has made iterative changes to the styling of the car, but not as aggressively as the Mercedes-Benz C-Class. And so Mercedes-Benz has taken its spot. And then the VW Polo came up from sixth and is now in third spot.
Okay,
that's an interesting one as well. I would have expected the Polo to perform a little bit better, but it's always up there. It's always up there in the top 10.
So if I just run through the list quickly, so like you said, Mercedes-Benz C-Class in first place, second Toyota Hilux, third was the Polo, fourth was the BMW 3 Series.
Well, the Hilux is more than likely, because it's an old South African kind of standard, and the Dakar.
Yeah.
The Dakar plays a big part
in that. And the facelift of the Hilux as well.
Yeah.
I mean, when they finally fixed its looks last year, I've noticed an immediate uptick in the interest.
People went to get the...
Once they took the overbite away.
People went and got the new one, and all those overbite ones are now floating around in the second.
That was the ugliest thing about the new Fortuna. I mean, you know...
Yes.
I couldn't... It looked...
So
where were we? Sorry, so I think it is, so 4-5 is the Ford Ranger, 6 the VW Golf, 7 the Audi A3, BMW 1 Series, Fortuna, and then in 10th place the BMW X5.
Which is a bit of a surprise. It is.
I think that's the only surprise on that list.
Yeah.
Perfectly honest with you.
So I wonder if we'll see the same kind of search trends happening over the next couple of months. But nice to see that there has been a change, and fantastic. Right. E-toll alternate could pay for South Africa's roads. Obviously, I'm not going to read the article to everybody, but it costs money to keep our roads in shape.
Why do you pay tax?
Well, we do pay tax, but we obviously pay tax for that and for services and all that other kind of stuff. But I think, if I have a look at it, it costs us the budget to keep our road network, in check, and to obviously fix the issues that we have on the road is about 116 billion rand a year. And obviously one of the ways to get that kind of money is with the levy that they put on fuel, and then obviously when we pay tolls. I must say the roads that I drove over the holiday period were very, very good. There were one or two roads that had potholes, but I think that's to be expected. You can't stop every road from having a pothole. But in general, we drove on good roads. So I don't mind paying tolls, but I can't.
I think toll is the most effective. Toll and the fuel tax are the most effective ways to charge or to tax for usage rather than a flat tax for everybody. I think that's positive. It's just got to be done in the right way.
Yeah.
And I think up to now it's been executed incorrectly. There's taxes on everything, and it's too high.
So they're talking about alternative funding methods, and I don't know if you guys have read into this, but it says while there are a number of possible alternate funding models, South Africa should look at its Columbia's road project, said this person, Mona. He added that Colombia not only has some of the worst roads in South America, but also not enough of them. To get around the problem, it launched the National Development Finance Corporation, and what makes it different from other such corporations is that it funds at most 25% of any project. And they actually get private funding for the road. So people can actually invest in the road infrastructure, and that's where they generate funds. How they get money out of that at the end of the day, I don't understand how that investment all works. But, I mean, do you think that's something like that that would take off? I mean, we obviously need it. There were sections of the road, the N3, you know, going from, is it the N3? From Belito kind of up towards, you know, Richards Bay side, N2. There were sections of road where you would literally, they just stop building it. And then you'd go for 5 or 6 kilometers and then it would start again. So I'm assuming, is that different municipalities? You know, what's the story there?
Look, what Sanral now proposes, or what they're investigating, is going on the Colombian model, which basically means that 25% comes from Sanral, would come from Sanral themselves, and the rest would come from private investors or from the private sector.
Okay.
The only way that would work in South Africa is if the private sector could see some level of competence in the management of such projects.
Correct.
And at the moment in South Africa, that's a no.
Yes.
Forget the management of the projects. Management of the tender process, where it doesn't go to some government official's family.
So that's what they're saying. If you've got a number of companies that are investing in these projects, it makes it harder for them, for there to be corruption, because you've got so many different gatekeepers who obviously have to all sign, you know, who the project's going to go to, who it's going to be awarded
to. Which will then probably lead to the thing being mired down in red tape.
Yeah, absolutely.
So still, for South Africa, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
And I personally approve of that, if they could figure out a way to manage the funds and manage the whole process properly. But going on recent history, that's highly unlikely.
Yeah, it says the project also has to offer acceptable risk and returns to investors, to the interest of the private investors. And the result is the pie in the sky projects, or those beloved by politicians. But we'll see what happens. I don't know. But this is something that's major. Otherwise, our roads are just going to deteriorate, and soon we're going to look like some of our, you know, our neighboring countries, which we don't want.
Well, on some of those stretches around Mpumalanga, which I saw now in December, we're already there.
Shocking.
Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
I drove on a road. I went out to a small town called Derby to go and collect something from a farm. And the road...
You're buying sheep again.
No. The road out to the farm was actually more pothole than it was tar. That the vehicles were actually driving on the shoulder. To avoid driving through
exactly
the
giant potholes. Exactly what I saw as well.
It's a small, tiny little, you know, bird splat town in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You drive through it, and if you blink, you miss the general store and the police station.
Yeah.
And the post office and the hotel, which is all one building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the church. It's always a church. Yeah. We'll have to...
So it's fine in theory.
Yeah.
Like the entire user pay system, it's fine in theory.
Mm.
But then those funds should be managed properly and actually go where they're supposed to go. Yeah. Not to...
Complete transparency.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which... Yeah. Let's see.
Very hard. Very hard. Anyway, right, let's get into our review. We chatted about this little vehicle at the back end of launch. It was launched in, what was it?
September.
And you've obviously driven it. And we've all driven it, except I haven't driven it. Have you driven it before? Sorry, George. George is
taking
pictures
first.
Of us. Well, here we go. Tell us a little bit. Have you driven the Jimny?
No, but I've been in it. I've driven the old Jimny, you know, the
so the new one is leagues.
Really. Okay, so what did you like about the old one?
A short wheelbase.
Yes.
Nippiness.
Yeah.
It's overpowered for its, not overpowered, but it's got a nice amount of power for its size. You know, just all round, if I was a surfer dude,
you wouldn't buy a Jimny, because what you're going to do with the surfboard?
You're going to put it on the roof.
Stick it on the roof. What are you talking about?
Okay, so you've got roof racks and the optional Mopar accessories.
That is an absolute, you know, surfer that that can't afford a Jeep.
Yeah.
Mm.
That is the perfect car.
So here's the thing. The new one is everything you loved about the old one and everything you could have hated about the old one. Almost everything has been sorted. Right. For starters, there's a new engine. Up 12 kilowatts. It feels like it's up about 30. Wow. It's considerably more perky on the road. I mean, you can actually get into the fast lane now without having...
without dying.
A truck running over you.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't have thought the Jimny is for those purposes.
No, but now it can actually manage those conditions as well.
The Jimny was always cracker off-road.
Yes.
It was an amazing off-road vehicle.
But the problem was you had to get to the end of the road first.
Yeah, well, you've got to drive on the road before you can get off the road, right?
So now you can actually get to the point where the road ends. And then when you get off-road, it's even better than before.
Okay.
Still proper four-wheel drive, selectable four-wheel drive, not with buttons anymore. It's got a little lever, old school style.
Yeah.
But in the absence of any diff lock, there's traction control. And I actually went out with some mates of mine with their Land Rovers.
Yeah.
Discoveries. And some of them
I saw the pictures.
Some of them were highly modified Discoveries. And guess what? This little Jimny trundled everywhere these modified monsters went.
Really? Except the mud pit.
Except the mud pit, because I didn't want
to
drown.
You would be up to your windowsills.
Exactly. I didn't want to drown this little car, but that's the only thing it didn't do. Everywhere else it went. And it, in some places, it actually went there easier.
Do you think because it's compact, it just makes it easier
it's
to maneuver?
It's light and it's small.
Yeah.
It's light. You can feel, I mean, I don't know about the new one, but you know, the old one, you could feel it was light.
Yeah.
It was like, it was almost like you could do bunny hops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Short wheelbase, like you said, very good breakover angle as a result. And there's also no overhang in front or at the rear.
Okay.
But because it's wider, it's also not as tippy, overy as the old one was.
Yeah.
Is that that's one of the coolest things. I actually drove it on launch out in Mpumalanga. And one of the nicest things, it was raining. And we were going down a very, very steep incline, which was basically made of mud.
Mm.
And you put the hill descent on. And take your feet off of everything and just hold on to the steering wheel. The car drives itself. It's absolutely amazing from a little car like that.
Yeah.
And a comparatively low-tech car as well. I mean, it's not loaded with a huge amount of fancy electronics. It's literally the stability control and the
I think the most electrical thing in there is the head unit.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So on that topic, it's a lot more comfortable as well. There isn't a lot more space. It does seem a bit more spacious. I don't know what they told you at the launch.
It is a little bit wider, so you get a little bit more
shoulder
room. It's about
15 mils wider.
You get a little bit more shoulder room, and there is a lot more headroom, actually.
Yeah. And then fuel consumption. I mean, I ran an old Jimny as a long-termer a couple of years ago, and I returned it on about 10 liters per 100, which is, it's not good, but it's acceptable
for
a little four-wheel drive box like that.
Yeah.
It's a box.
This one, I gave it back after 5 weeks, sitting on 8 litres per 100.
Oh, wow. So,
so there's like a 20% improvement in fuel consumption all around as well. So it's faster, it's more comfortable, it's quieter, more space, just as capable off-road or even more so than before.
So now all
and
you have to do is put an electric motor in there and sort it. You know?
It's a Jimny. It's fine with an electric. My old Land Rover needs an electric.
I was actually going to ask you, have you done anything with that Landy yet?
No, it's sitting broken in the garage.
Oh,
no. I think the winch is more.
You know, one of the things I read over the December break was battery technology is actually 2,000 years old.
Oh, wow.
You know, dating back to even the Egyptian times, they found anode cathode battery type technology, as antiquated as that was, back then. So it's 2,000 years old. I don't think batteries are going anywhere. And put it this way, and I'm going to put something in his pipe and smoke it, is without a battery, a internal combustion engine can't work.
True.
But the other way around works perfectly.
I got nothing.
No comment. Martin has been stumped.
All right, so Martin. George wins round one.
Round one. For 2019.
For 2019.
Well, the next show, you better dig up something.
No, I think you actually should. We should actually just get a scoreboard going, and we'll put your names under it. And we'll
George,
just
one,
George
tick.
One tick.
Martin zero.
Yeah, there we go. And Lawrence and I will be the judges of that stuff. Talking about technology, I see Tesla recalls more than 14,000 cars in China over, guess what? Airbags. And again, who's it?
Takata.
Yeah, so Tesla will recall 14,100.
When are they going to boot this lot?
Well, this is the thing. And
Takata's gone under, though.
No, but, you know, anything that has a Takata airbag.
Yeah, should be.
Yeah. It's the biggest recall worldwide of any sort in the automotive history.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I mean,
anyway, so that's news, because I also believe that Tesla, which recently broke ground on they've opened a factory just out of Shanghai, which is really, really interesting. So that just
EVs are huge in China,
massive, and they have to go and obviously play there. That's obviously the capital
money,
of
money.
Also export and import duties.
Yeah, probably.
So it's much better for them to build new cars over there.
Yeah, then stuff coming
because it's closer
to
the battery suppliers and closer to everything else. Good talk.
Exactly. And then just to before we wrap up, Bose Quiet Comfort Noise Cancelling Tech could be coming to cars. Now, I remember you bought a set of Bose earphones. Mm-mm. You had a set.
No.
What were they?
JBLs.
Were those JBLs? Mm. Okay, my bad. I thought they were, but they have got the same kind of functionality.
Same technology.
You can cancel out the noise. Yeah. So do you want to just explain to somebody how the headphone works? Because literally what it's saying is that they're going to take the same technology and they're going to start plugging it into vehicles for people who want
it. I've driven a car that had the technology.
It's amazing.
And it's weird.
Well, I mean, when you put these headphones on and you turn on the noise cancelling, everything else disappears.
Yeah.
And I think it creates some sort of white noise that cancels out the background that you're actually hearing. So you're actually listening to something, and what you're listening to you can't really hear, and that cancels out the noise in the background.
On a technical level, the system analyzes the background noise and then it plays the same noise but the inverse of it through the speakers.
Yeah.
Now, I can't understand why this is new. I mean, the Audi S7 had that. The Ford Everest has it.
Yes. Already. That was the vehicle I drove that had
it works beautifully.
The normal road noise that you're used to hearing in a car
just disappears.
And you end up, it sounds like you're having a conversation in a library.
So, I mean, because when you're driving on the on a highway, whether you're on, if you go from a tarmac onto concrete, you can hear the noise.
Resonant frequency.
The change, there's a complete change. Mm. You know, sometimes if you're not experienced, you go like, oh shit, something's happened to my car, then you only need to listen to the road.
See, the big advantage of this is because your car already has an audio system.
Yes.
If you add the system, you don't need to load it with kilograms upon kilogram upon kilogram of noise insulation material. Because this effectively just cancels it all out.
But then I suppose on the flip side, most people pick up that there's something wrong with their vehicle because they actually, you hear it before you see it or feel it.
Well, I mean, it doesn't noise cancelling technology doesn't cut out
everything.
If your tire bursts, you're going to hear it.
For sure.
It's not like it deafens you. It doesn't. Just like Martin says, it I don't know if it listens to, but it almost records the sound wave and then just inverts that sound wave
and plays it back to you.
And that's what cancels out the
If you
the
wear noise cancelling headphones on an airplane, you can still hear the jet engine.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a low hum.
It's a low hum, yeah.
But generally the noise that you would get in the atmosphere, people breathing and coughing and stuff, that...
And sometimes you need noise in your car so you don't hear children.
But the thing with this, I think, especially in Georgia's electric future,
You're going to hear a lot more road noise.
You're going to hear a lot more road noise. And the thing is, you also want to keep those EVs as light as possible to maximize your range and performance and everything else.
Yeah.
So if you can cut down on the need for noise insulation material, and you can rather play the inverse of the sounds, it's a perfect solution.
Perfect solution. Well, on that note, that is our first show for 2019. Gents, it's been absolutely spectacular. Thank you very much.
Awesome, as always.
And for those that are listening and those that download the podcast, thank you very much. Don't forget to log on to autotrader.co.za. Check out our news and reviews. Most of the stuff that we talk about is there. The Jimny reviews. We've got a couple of videos. Martin, you got another article going live.
I see there is an article on the Jimny
on there. And pretty much any motoring-related information that you require can be found on our site. And... that's just the way
if
we
you
roll.
If you can't find it, tweet us.
Yeah, if you can't find it, tweet us and we'll
ask
create it for you. Ask Auto Trader. There we go. Guys, thanks very much, and we will catch you in studio next week.
This is CliffCentral.com.